All right, Bill, thank you very much, and thank you, Dave. We're going to turn it over now back to Josh Arnold, who will introduce our next guest here on Connections.
Welcome to Connections. Our next guest is Erica Brown, who is the owner, publisher, editor of the Cricket in Manchester. Erica, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Josh.
Well, I saw that you acquired the Manchester Cricket and want to know all about that. And tell us about your career in journalism and your lead up to getting to buying this historic newspaper and how that's going.
That's a big question, but I'll start at the beginning. So yes, or at the beginning of your question. Yes, I took over the Cricket a year ago in November, so it's been about 18 months. So pretty new. It's funny. It feels like it's been forever for me, and yet at the same time, it feels like it's gone by in a flash. But yeah, I took it over about 18 months ago. And did it because I love the paper and the Slade family, which had owned it for over 100 years. It's a 132-year-old paper. It was founded in as sort of a little Manchester paper in Manchester by the Sea in 1888. And then in, you know, about 40 years later, they purchased the Essex Echo, which was a neighboring newspaper. So they expanded to Essex. And so the Slade family owned it for over 100 years, and I took it over from there.
What's it? What is it, your circulation? Is in Manchester, Essex, Gloucester, or where else?
Yeah, it's sort of the abutting neighbors. So Magnolia and Beverly Farms, I would definitely include in that. Yep. The heart of the paper, though, is Manchester and the neighboring town of Essex, which is really dramatically changing and growing. And then also we have a sizable number of people who have connections to the community, don't live in the community anymore, but subscribe for a little taste of home.
Well, that's great. Yep. And what is the paper like today versus what it might have been 10 years ago, if you can say that? I know the newspaper industry continues to change, and it more recently is changing simply because of the crisis we're in. And how has that changed what you're doing day to day than from even a month ago?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I've known the paper forever. I've been in Manchester for about 35 years. I'm married, a kind of a local guy. My background is in journalism and then in advertising. So I kind of used to joke that I'm the perfect person for the Cricket because, you know, I've got the whole, all components for understanding kind of what's appropriate for the paper. But that said, you're correct. Everything has really been changing dramatically. And it's been a real interesting kind of exercise to the first set of business I did, starting when I first took it over, or even before I took it over, was really starting to study, deeply studying what the paper was, what role it's played in the community, and then kind of tuning that towards for the present and the future. And I started that a while ago, and I have to say, given what we're going through right now, I'm really, really grateful I did, because I fell down the road in doing a lot of things that if I hadn't done them by now, it would be trouble. So things like how would you take a paper that is really, it's an old-fashioned, lovely weekly paper that is essentially gives people the feeling of their, it reinforces their feeling of community. So you really have to celebrate that, you know, really getting local, not trying to act like your Eyewitness News, but really giving people everything, a taste of everything that leads them to either choose to live here or stay here. And enjoy being here with their neighbors in their community. And that includes the businesses, the organizations, the events, the pictures and the photos and the visuals and your friends, et cetera, and the connections. So the first thing I did was I took the paper online for the first time. That was very, very challenging because it was important to me to make sure that the paper didn't lose that kind of sense of print, that sense of a tactile feeling like you were reading a historic newspaper, even though you're online. And it's really hard to do, I've learned. But I think we're really successful. We actually just won a New England Newspaper Association award for the website, and people really, really like it. As a matter of fact, I think we have like four times now the number of people who subscribe to the paper actually going to the web every day to actually engage the content there, and figuring out what belongs on the website versus what goes into the paper, and how you publish. It's been a challenge, but it's been a really worthy challenge. It's been fun. And then, of course, now we're in the challenges that we're in right now with COVID-19, which it was kind of a dramatic challenge in terms of us of understanding how are we going to get information out to the public in a meaningful way. Sort of,
and how do you get it back in?
How do you get it back in? Where?
How do you draw it in? How do you monitor it in terms of bringing the information in to write about, to
Really, it's getting the information is not a problem. It's just old-fashioned, you know, journalism and news gathering. But determining what's appropriate for the cricket to get out and how is probably the key, because the truth is most people have endless ways of getting information in a timely way. So really understanding what role is the cricket going to play, and for us it's been super local news, very practical, very local. For instance, you know, the town of Manchester on Sunday night, the BOS had an emergency virtual meeting, because everything now is on webcast, and they had their first webcasted meeting where they determined that they were going to, after, you know, two beautiful days and everyone outside, and, you know, there was just a lot of bulk of people. There was a lot of density of people, and they were really concerned about social distancing. So they had an emergency meeting to close all the public parks and all the beaches. And we were able to write that up, working with the town, you know, write it up, put out the story, and get it out within an hour. And it was, on social media and on the website, and it was, you know, dramatically shared and seen. So in other words, in that way, we were effective, but we weren't trying to be on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis and leaning into the crisis. It was literally us getting word out to our community about practical information that they needed to know at that point in time. Now, we're putting together our paper right now for this week, and that the printed page is going to have that information, of course, but it's going to have it in a more contextual way. It'll kind of, you know, provide a context. It'll be more thoughtful, and it won't be quite so, hey, this is what you need to know right now.
Excuse me, Josh, if I could interrupt and ask Erica about that. Erica, when the Board of Selectmen does their virtual meeting and they do it online, do you have access to that live?
Yes, it's, they still have to follow all the rules for public meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So literally they have to advertise and get word out, even though it was an emergency meeting. That morning they put out word that they were going to have the meeting.
We
helped them get the word out as well, but they had that, and then you dial in to a, it's a web conference, and it's video, everyone is logged in, and the way they chose to do questions, they did have public input, which is required for public meetings, although I'm not sure if an emergency meeting can be exempted from that, but they did take it at that time, and they did it through the texts. It was really, really efficient, so that people could just type in, and you could see the questions ahead of time. It's really kind of interesting, really, really cool.
Wow, very much
so.
Josh?
No, I said that's neat. It makes me, you know, when you're talking about, and other guests have talked about, the changes we've had to make to accommodate the virus and the environment that we are in, it makes me wonder what the future holds in terms of how we position what we do, and how much it becomes revolutionized, or how much, you know, they build a new restaurant, will there be a new set of regulations that says how far apart the booths have to be, how far apart the stools at the counter bar can be, or will it forever change, you know, will it change some industries? Will it, how is that going to work, and will it change for good, or how do we, just,
well,
it's hard to imagine what it would be, but we also, one of the great things about America is we adapt to whatever challenge is put before us, and we find a way through it. And,
that's right.
It's just interesting to kind of look at some of this stuff and say, I wonder what's going to be next.
I don't think anybody knows the answer to that, but it is interesting. I do think that the answer is that there will be big changes that come on the other side of this across the board, that we're all going to be able to point to this moment in time and say, that's where it all started. So you're right. I think we're learning how we work can change and has immense flexibility. I wonder about the nature of cities and the role that they'll play. They'll probably be more cultural centers, maybe less, you know, and of an emphasis on offices, maybe. I don't know. You could kind of wax about this for a while. But I do think, though, that at the end of this, I think everyone believes, and I believe it, you know, strongly, the sense of community that you see is just dramatic. And I think that people are going to turn inward more. They're going to turn to their neighbors more. They're going to understand and appreciate where they live and their home a lot more, and I think that that's really good. I mean, I got to see it, actually. I was just talking about the Sunday meeting, the emergency meeting. I put out that meeting, that sort of news, piece of news on Sunday. It got a dramatic amount of readership and attention and views. The next day, they declared, which was yesterday, the town declared a state of emergency, and we had our first COVID thing. And now Cape Ann has, all four towns have, COVID-positive residents, right? So we're now in it. But the second time, when they did the state of emergency, it's funny, the attraction and the type of attention wasn't as much the same. People had already factored it in, they'd already been moving on, and they were already looking for information that was more comforting and more, less kind of emergency and more, hey, what do we want to do at home? How can you pass the time? What are some good examples of acts of kindness that people are doing to one another? It was kind of nice, and that kind of gives you a sense of where I think things are also going to go.
Along those lines, Erica, as we close this out, I'm asking Josh, and I'm asking you, and I'm asking all of our interviewees to help us with that exactly. And so what I'm asking for is, can you recommend, or will you recommend, a book that you like, that we should read across the spectrum, or a movie? Because I know a lot of people are sitting home, we're looking at books, we're buying e-books, we're going online, reading all of our apps, and a lot of people are watching television and videos. That being said, and I've talked long enough to hopefully give you a time to think about it, can you recommend a book and a movie?
Okay, so a book is harder because I haven't really been thinking. I've been racing around. I haven't really thought of it, but I have been thinking about movies. I will say that, you know, a book, I have thought of this. If I were to read a book right now, which I don't have time to do, I would read a funny book.
Okay. Yep.
That's what I'm in the mood for. You know, like, I remember laughing hysterically when Tina Fey came out with her book. I something like that, something that just gives me a great feeling.
I love it.
So that's really where my head's at and where my emotional bandwidth is right now. It's not really with big philosophical books or, you know, important books. I want to read something funny.
I agree with you on that one. That's great advice. Great advice.
But for a movie, I did just see a great movie. I've been watching movies when I do have some extra time, and it's really great to see the old ones, you know, sort of whip out. Netflix is doing great during this time, right? And I saw A Room with a View. And, oh, my gosh, that is such a sweet, lovely, older movie that feels, and it made me feel great. It made me feel great.
I'm writing all these down.
That, A Room with a View.
I'm writing all these down, so I appreciate it. I'm going to have plenty to do here when we get done.
Josh? It's very sweet. It's an old romance.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Josh?
So,
Gear more toward history and politics, which I'm sure surprises you. But I would ask people, suggest to people, An Unfinished Life by Robert Dallek, who's wrote a book about John F. Kennedy. And then there's a fiction book called Jack 1939 that's worth looking at as well. I gave you a movie before, and you said, well, I need to come up with a new one. Well, I still think one of the all-time classics is Casablanca. But going with what Eric has said, something funny, I would say Blazing Saddles.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to throw in Frankenstein. Young Frankenstein. Mel Brooks. Same thing.
Yes.
Okay. We have to wrap this up. Josh, anything final for Erica?
No, I thought she spoke eloquently about the transition of the Slade family to the cricket now, and I'm always interested in what newspapers do and how they present stories. And you mentioned about humor, and when I worked in the public sector, I developed a hobby of when the headline and the picture don't line up perfectly. When it creates a whole different story, and so I actually created an album of these, and I'll have to send those off to you, but I have some funnier than others, and it's just the way the paper laid out, and it's how you have to look at it. It's not the way they intended it, but, you know, but when you see it, you'll understand, and I may even post some on Facebook to give folks a laugh.
Send it along.
Okay.
All right, thank you both very much. Josh, we'll talk with you later. Erica, thank you so much, and we would love to do this again sometime.
Of course, anytime.
Thank you very much. That's Erica Brown, who is the editor and publisher of the Manchester Cricket, and you can find that, of course, online. If you can't get out to get the printed version, it is thecricket.com.